Well, people in Cape Breton's fishing communities were keeping a close eye on Canada's west coast yesterday. That's where Federal Fisheries Minister Dominic LeBlanc announced changes to the Federal Fisheries Act. And according to our next guest, fishermen were pleased with what they heard, especially with provisions to bring in regulations to protect local fish harvesters. John Couture is director with the Cape Breton Fish Harvesters Association representing fishermen and a VP of the Nova Scotia Canadian Independent Fish Harvesters Federation. He used to be a fisherman back in the 90s. After that, he worked with DFO as a licensing officer, and now he works for First Nations bands in Cape Breton with the Unimagi Institute of Natural Resources. But today, he is speaking on behalf of Cape Breton Fish Harvesters with the Fish Harvesters Association. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So maybe you could tell us specifically about the biggest reasons why you think fishermen are smiling this morning.
Well, the minister's announcement yesterday was just a pivotal moment for fisheries in Canada. After nearly two decades of lobbying, fish harvesters, their associations, and the Canadian Independent Fish Harvesters Federation actually secured protection and preservation of the inshore through independent owner-operator fish harvesters based on the amendments made and announced yesterday.
Okay, so what was the amendment that you think enshrines this?
It's the protection of the owner-operator. There's no question about it. It allows for the benefits of a license to be maintained by individual, independent owner-operator fish harvesters across coastal communities in Canada and allows them to distribute that wealth back to the community and support the local economy.
So the concept here is fleet separation so that the people who have rights to a license are the people that fish that license, meaning a lobster fisherman, and the big processing companies can't get in and buy up those licenses wholesale is the idea. But we've heard on Information Morning in recent years that there have been attempts to erode that through licensing agreements. We had Paul Withers explaining to us lately this federal court case on a licensing agreement with one Newfoundland fisherman. So these licensing or controlling agreements mean big processors can control the license of a smaller fisherman by basically financing his operation, correct?
That's pretty much it. It works out that there's policies in place, have been since probably 2006, known as the preservation of the independence of the inshore fleet in Canada's Atlantic fishery. So based on that agreement, DFO at the time sent out letters to every fisherman on the records as holding licenses, core licenses. Those declarations just basically said, are you indeed independent or not? You know, do you own your licenses? Mm-hmm. And through that, a lot of confusion, a lot of, it was very high level, the letter when it went out. So they came into the licensing centers. They talked to people like myself at the time, and they then declared, yes, I am, or I am independent, or I'm in a controlling agreement. And I guess that's where the first real strike from the corporate sector who wanted to be involved in this began getting advice and using their expertise to contravene the policy and find methods to avoid being put under the microscope.
Mm-hmm. And so how many members in the Cape Breton Fish Harvesters Association would be engaged in controlling agreements now, do you think?
You know what? I doubt if I could even come up with that number. I think from the association, we probably have a membership of 100, 135, and that I may be estimating low. I would think that no one is directly in a controlling agreement in that group because this is part of the pillars of the Fishery Act that we've been pushing for a very long time, mm-hmm. and that's preservation of the inshore independent owner-operator.
Now, one question I'd have for you is that it's my understanding from the read of the provisions, and some of them haven't actually been enshrined yet. These are plans, and some
strictly.
Of them, they say, well, here's what we would like to do. This this new amendment would provide clear regulatory authority to support independent inshore license holders. And my understanding is that it would give the minister the authority, but not necessarily enshrine the independence of the fleet in the legislation.
The idea, and I go back to my past, I'm glad I don't work there anymore because I guess I'd be in trouble saying what I'm about to say, but we felt as licensing officers back then that this policy, although it seemed strong, didn't have the teeth. It didn't allow us the ability to actually go against the controlling agreements or to put a hold on the license or to revoke a license. The license seemed to continue, and it continued right up until I think it was last April when finally they started to look at them and say, okay, we're actually getting serious now. We're going to start revoking licenses. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it was two Aprils ago because, of course, the court case you mentioned earlier still goes on. So it provides the capacity of the Minister of Fisheries Notions to make the decisions to protect the economics and the social values attached to the license. And through the wording, if you read closer, there's a few good documents out there on CBC. It talks about actually making the change so that those regulations can be made upon that principle of independent owner-operator.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I think you will give the fishery officers and other staff members, compliance officers, et cetera, the ability to seek out, do further investigation, and if not end, at least limit future controlling agreements and situations like what's there. I know personally, based on previous court cases and where we're sitting now with these amendments, if they get approved in Royal Assent, I'd be concerned if I was involved in a controlling agreement.
And what kind of teeth will be in there?
Well, as you saw from the Newfoundland case, the minister revoked the license. As of January 1st of that year, that person was no longer able to pay for their license and go fish. And that's what then brought the legal action that's still ongoing.
Well, what do you say of the criticism from some in the industry on the other side who suggest that this would be a backward step for the fleet because we're competing at an international level where there are corporate fisheries, where fish are processed offshore, and that it keeps the Canadian, especially the East Coast fishery, in a parochial situation where the prices are going to rise, the labor costs are going to rise, and will make us non-competitive?
Well, honestly, I don't necessarily believe the rhetoric that's been put out there in the media. Some of it has been by opponents of what the minister's announcement said yesterday. Over the years, the spread of these controlling agreements and the interference of the corporate sector has meant that financial benefits of fishing licenses are funneled to corporations, not back to independent fish harvesters or their coastal communities. So right off the fly, it reminds me, and I'm glad I'm in Cape Breton, it reminds me of company store idea of the mining industry years and years ago. And that's what it's similar to now in the fishing industry under these controlling agreements. You're paying most of the benefits back to a processor or someone who's sponsored your financing of this. The department actually initially had wanted recognized financial institutes to be the people that were financing these licenses. They wanted the Nova Scotia Loan Board. They wanted the registered banks, the recognized financial institutions in this country to actually have control, similar to a loan or a mortgage, not a mortgage for life that presently exists.
All right, John, well, look, thanks for telling us about it. We'll be watching the changes as they come forward. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.